What's up, everyone? It's Justin. We are about to do episode 2 of the CHH-ish podcast. This episode is featuring Hurt, RPH, and he's got a crazy story. He almost went to prison for 15 years for a crime that he did not commit. So we're going to talk about that with him and how he overcame that, and then talk about some of the ministry stuff that he's currently doing. Can you guys hear me okay? Do I sound good? Can you hear me? Let me know in the comments. What's up? All right, I see Hurt in there now. Can you guys hear me? I'm just doing a mic check. Thumbs up? Okay. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Yo, what's up?
What's up with it, man?
What's up, man?
Hello, man.
I'm just realizing I'm not even getting sound through my earbuds, so I'm just gonna take them off. Okay. I guess they disconnected. yeah, man, it's good to actually be face to face with you and talking to you. I know every time we've spoken, it's been something that's like, okay, this is a big thing that's happening to you.
yeah. AI, what's up? Good people, how y'all doing? Yeah, man, it's my life is a movie, to say the least. Not saying that other people's lives aren't movies, but I've had some very climactic points in my life.
Yeah, you certainly have.
Yeah, but the best is yet to come. The movie just got good, man. The movie just got good, if I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah, man. And that's what I want to talk about. Hey, AI, what's up? Hey. So that's what I want to talk about. This is, for everyone tuning in, this is the CHH-ish podcast, where we talk to CHH artists about things not involving CHH. We'll do it a little bit, because I kind of lied with that part, but it's all part of the story, man. So for
what's up, Arson? What's up?
For those that are tuning in now, you almost went to prison for 15 years for a crime that you did not commit. It's a whole long story regarding. So, yeah. Before we get into that, congratulations on winning that legal battle. I know it was a long time coming. So, can you take us through the moment when you heard the verdict and there was like, you're a free man? What was that moment like?
Ah, man. So, Tone, what's happening? I'm in Houston, and Faith, what to do? I'm in Houston getting ready for, this event that we do. So I'm part of heading a company called Sound of Light, where we do Christian entertainment, right? So we're getting ready for our event. It was December 15th. So it's raining outside. We setting up, getting all the vendors ready, talking to everybody, putting everything together. And my lawyer called me. Now my lawyer, part of the long story is that my lawyer was trash. For real life.
Like public defender?
No, paid lawyer. Paid lawyer who came highly recommended, but you know, it is what it is. My lawyer didn't do what my lawyer was supposed to do. The witness that I had that was my alibi just flaked on me for no reason. Okay. And so my lawyer calls me, my lawyer don't call me, to the point where I used to call my lawyer and never get calls back. And then like, I would have to like, kind of go off on them to let them know, like, look, man, I'm paying you. The amount of money I paid you, I should at least be able to get a call back. So to get a phone call out the blue without me reaching out to them first was kind of like shocking, right?
Yeah.
I answer the phone, I'm in the middle of doing everything. And my lawyer was like, no, the reception was like, can you please hold on while we put the lawyer online? I was like, cool. So I'm, just doing what I'm doing. Lawyer gets on the phone and it's like, how you doing, Mr. Vincent? I'm like, how you doing? And she said, I just want to let you know that we won't be there on the 15th, but the DA has dropped all the charges. And I just want to let you know what's going on. And so when you go to court on Monday, everything's done, you're done with. And so now I'm turned. Like I'm right. I'm screaming hallelujah, praise God. Like I'm because it's been a long time coming. Like this has been a real journey for me. You know what I mean? And so I kind of don't hear what she's talking about no more. And she's still trying to talk to me. There go my wife. Hey, how you doing, mama? I kind of don't hear what she's talking about no more. Right? I'm zoned out. I'm fully in praise and God, super happy. And she trying to talk, and I just apologized to her. I'm like, look, is there anything else you need to do? Because, like, my mom was in another building in the same premises. So I want to go tell my mom. And so I want to just celebrate, right? And I look at the phone. My wife, she's still at work. She can't turn her phone on until the break. So I'm like, okay, I can't call her. Let me go tell my mom. And so I get off the phone with her, and then I walk in the room where my mother is. And I'm just, woo, like, hallelujah. So she stand up. The worship team is up there rehearsing, getting ready for the event. Everybody looking at me like, why is this dude so happy? Like, you know what I mean? And she's like, what's going on? I said, it's over. She just started crying. She started crying, worshiping. And, yeah, then we did the event. I flew home, went to court. Funny story when I went to court, too. But went to court, they dropped everything and told me congratulations.
man, awesome. All right, so we got the good ending out of the way. Now, just like in the movies, we saw what happened at the end. Now we got to go back to see how it happened. All right, so let's go back. Walk us through the day when you were arrested. I know you were at a Carl's Jr.
Yep.
I hope you don't eat there anymore.
I haven't ate Carl's Jr. in a while, but that's not the reason. I just haven't. Yeah.
Okay.
Carl didn't do nothing.
That's where you were like kind of pointed out, like, this is the guy. Then the guy said it wasn't you, and then he said it was you. So kind of walk us through that whole thing.
So I'm at home, my aunt, my cousins, and my ex. My aunt and I, it's halftime of the Laker game. We like, let's go get something to eat. My aunt wanted Del Taco. No. Carl's Jr., I wanted El Pollo Loco, right? They're next to each other in the place that I went. So I got my little cousin, he's sitting on my lap, we're in a drive-thru. I get out and go get my food from El Pollo Loco while my aunt's in the drive-thru of Carl's Jr. I get back in the car, she's asking for a shake. They tell her that the shake machine is down. Now, I didn't find out till later. They only said the shake machine was down because the guy who had got robbed was inside there. And he said, that guy robbed me yesterday. Call the cops. So they were stalling and waiting for the police to get there. Right. Okay. So, you know, when your order's not ready and they don't want to back the lineup, they just ask you to pull around and wait and bring your food out.
Right.
So they did that to us. Like, hey, can you pull around? So while we waiting, about 10-15 police cars just come in, blazing glory. Hop out, draw down guns, screaming. My aunt's looking at me like, what did you do? I was like, I didn't do nothing. She said, what did you do? I'm like, for real, I didn't do nothing. And my cousin, he's like 3, so he crying, all these guns in his face, police yelling, there's lights everywhere. So they pulled me out the car, put me inside of the police car. I'm sitting there for a long time, don't know what's going on. A couple hours later, after my aunt and everybody leave, they pull me out of the car to have the guy who called the police identify me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going on. So apparently the day before, he called the police and a 17-year-old juvenile black male, now I'm not a juvenile, right?
How old were you?
I was a grown man. I wasn't a juvenile.
Okay. Right?
So he says the 17-year-old juvenile black male robbed me with a gun and he took my cell phone. So they pulled me out and the guy, they have him and they shine the police lights on me and from where he is so I couldn't see him. but that I can be seen, right?
Right.
So the guy says, no, that's not him, because they want to have him ID me. So the guy says, no, that's not him. They put me back in the car. I can hear the commanding officer talking to the officer in training. Now, the officer in training ended up coming to court later. So I hear the commanding officer talking to him, and he says, tell him that we're going to have him ID him again, and if he says no this time, we're going to have to let him go. So now you're basically saying, like, even if you're not sure, you better off saying, yeah, because we're going to let this dude go, and it's over after that. So it's kind of like a coerced, right? They kind of coerced him to say, yeah.
Yeah.
So when they pulled me out the car, I could hear him saying all this. So they pulled me out the car. I still don't know what I'm being accused of. They pulled me out, and he puts my hoodie on. I had a black hoodie on at the time. He puts my hoodie on and then says, ask him again. Obviously, he says yes this time. So then the guy leaves. They sit me back in the police car. We there for like some hours. We finally go into the substation, and I'm asking the cops. I'm like, look, why are you guys arresting me? I've done nothing, right? I robbed nobody. I didn't sell no drugs. I didn't shoot nobody. I didn't pimp. I didn't do anything. I named every crime that I could think of to say that I didn't do.
Yeah.
So the officer says, well, how do you know what we're taking you to jail for? So I laughed, right? I chuckled. I said, I know the game you playing, right? You being funny. I said, well, check it out, man. I've named everything, so I don't know, right? He says, well, it's the first thing you said. So he said, it's Robert. Now we fast forward to the police report. They said, the officer basically said that we pulled Mr. Vincent in the car on the way to the police station. He says, why are you arresting me for robbery?
Yeah, so, and like, Bert, you're telling on yourself,
exactly.
Basically.
Didn't say anything else and twisted the words, but that's what they say. Anything you say can and will be used against you. So they just lied on me and doctored the police report. And so then they take me to jail. So that was that day. That was that day. I didn't get to finish the Laker game, man.
or the Carl's Jr. or the Del Taco.
None of it. I wanted El Pollo Loco.
Oh,
the Carbone tacos.
So how long did they actually keep you locked up for?
I think I bailed out the next day. It took me like a day or two to just make some phone calls, put everything together. I bailed out, and then I was going to court for some months. So with the court situation, because I was a felon, the kid who robbed the guy, he was an older Hispanic guy. The kid who robbed him pulled a gun on him and took a cell phone, right? Now, those are like juvenile crimes, right? As an adult, I'm not taking no cell phone from nobody, let alone using a gun to take a cell phone from someone, right? So because he used a gun and I was a felon and he ID'd me, they were trying to get me to sign for 12 years. My max was 15. The 12 was a 10-year gun enhancement and 2 years for the robbery. And so it's like, well, I might as well just fight this thing. We might as well go to trial, right?
Yeah.
If it's only a difference of 3 years, if you're not coming off of this 12-year deal, I might as well just go to trial. I didn't do it. I'm going to take my luck with a jury of my so-called peers, right? And so we go through this whole long process. They try to violate my probation. I was on probation at the time. They try to violate my probation and give me 3 years violation of probation. But my thing was like, look, this is mistaken identity. You can't violate my probation because this guy thought I looked like somebody, right? And so just fighting and fighting and fighting and going to court for years and fighting and fighting and fighting. And it basically ended because the guy, they couldn't get in contact with him anymore. The guy who actually got robbed, the original victim. So without a victim, there is no crime. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, there are people who go through this every day, right? It's a whole lot more to the story that I can't talk about right now, but we'll talk about later in the future. But people go through this every single day, and they don't have the resources that I had to do what I was able to do to fight the law and beat the law. And it was more than money, right?
Yeah.
And people are in jail every day. And I just want to encourage y'all, man. You know, a lot of people in these years that I've been doing this ministry have saw me not knowing that I was fighting for my life. And I would show up and I would help and I would encourage and I would exhort, edify, and build. Because you don't have to look like what you're going through, right? You don't have to carry the weight emotionally, mentally, and physically on you, right? With having faith in God and allowing God to be who he is and be your strength and be your rock, you can stand on those promises and just wait for those promises to be fulfilled. And so for me, it was an honor to go through this in front of everybody. And, you know, when everything fully comes out, people are going to really be shocked at the fact of what I was doing, how I was doing it, and how I was carrying myself this whole time,
right,
moving around like the situation wasn't what it was, is because of my faith in God.
Yeah, and you were fortunate that you didn't actually have to do any of the time, even though, of course, you were still run through the whole system and everything. Like, I spoke to a guy a couple of years ago. Well, I still know him now. He did 27 years for a crime that he didn't commit. And the only reason why he got out is because he admitted his guilt so that they could say, oh, he learned his lesson. And then he came out.
Yeah.
So for 27, you know, it was like 24 years or 23 years he was in there. And he was like, you know, he would come up for parole. And he's like, no, I didn't do it. And they said, no, well, you did it. So then they would throw him back in for like 2 more years or whatever. So then finally his lawyers were like, just say you did it, say you're sorry, and they'll let you out. So he did.
And that's the game that they played on, man. What people really got to understand is that the criminal justice system is a business, and criminals are a product, right?
Yep.
The high recidivism rate is because they need you to go back to jail, because in jail is how they make money. They get grants and so forth to take people to jail. And so justice is not always about justice. A lot of times justice is just getting a warm body to fall for a crime, right? I got multiple felonies. I've never been to jail for anything that I've ever done. I've done some stuff in my life, but all the felonies that I've had, all the time I've been arrested, none of them have had anything to do with the stuff that I actually did, right? But you get in jail and they doctor up the police report. They doctor up everything. It's your word against theirs, especially who I used to be back in the day. Like, I really wasn't an upstanding citizen. And so my word don't go far in a courtroom against the police officers, right? And
yeah.
So they just get people to plead guilty. Most of convictions are because they get people to plead guilty, because what they do is they scare you like they were doing to me. Well, just take this 12 years. Just take this. Because if you go to court and you lose, you're going to get a whole lot more time. And so that's what they got him to do, man, because he was tired of sitting in jail for something that he didn't do. And the sad thing is, that's going to be on his record.
Yeah, it's not coming off. He's working to get it, you know, wiped away. But it was the same thing. He wasn't a good, you know, he wasn't an upstanding citizen, as you said before.
Yeah,
he had arrested a couple times, so... Once you have that on your record, it's like, well, he probably did it. So, you know,
exactly.
He didn't do it.
The sad thing is, man, they act like people, they say that the prison system and the justice system is about reformation, but then they act like you can't reform.
Yeah.
They treat you based on the mistakes that you've made in the past presently, right? Currently, I remember going to court right now and like the judge just talking to me crazy. Like, and oh, you did this and you were this and you, and because I had asked him, I'm like, look, man, I know I'm on bail, but I'm a pastor and I minister. I need to fly to Detroit. I gotta go out here to go minister the gospel.
Yeah.
He's like, No, you're this, you're that, you're potential flight risk. I'm like, come on, man, like, man, check my resume, see who I am right now. I know you're looking at what I did 15 years ago when I was a young man and Like, who am I as a grown man right now? Check my stats. Google me. You know what I mean? Really, just Google me. You Google me and you'll see, right? I got police officers. I have superintendents and principals and pastors and bishops and prophets, all kind of different people who will vouch for my character. But because you're reading this paper and coming to a synopsis about who I am as a human being and what my character is, you judging me completely off. And so they act like rehabilitation is not real. You know what I mean? Like, case in point, I, as a felon, I'm not able to own a firearm, right? In my name, I can't own a firearm. Yeah. Now, I've changed. It's been years since I got in trouble with the law. Now you're saying that I don't have the right to protect my family, even though I'm an upstanding taxpaying citizen. You want me to rely on the police, but the police aren't there when crimes happen. They come when crimes are over. So you want me to call you and hope that you get here in time to save my family if somebody breaks in my home.
And yeah.
So it's just all a lie. And I encourage y'all, man, just obey the law, but understand when the law is working for you and against you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And when did that shift happen for you? When you started, you know, doing things the right way? I'm assuming you got saved too and you started doing ministry. Like, when did all that occur from, like,
your past? November 13, 2011. Okay. I just went to church kind of to shut my mom up. I can't even front. You know what I mean? It was, she kept inviting me. I went and I met God for real. And my life changed after that, man. And it was no going back. By the grace of God, I haven't backslid. My name has been in no scandals. There's been no messing around with girls, no stealing money, no doing nothing. My name has been clean for 12 years, man, by the grace of God. But it's no different than, like, in the world. Like, my name was clean in the world. I didn't tell on anybody. I didn't do any. Like, I'm kind of a guy who tries to stick to the code. Like, whatever the code is, I'm gonna do my best to stick to it. You know what I mean? And the gospel and the law of God is a code that I live by. So November 13, 2011.
So going back now, so you are innocent of the crime you allegedly committed.
Yeah.
So now, does that mean that they're actually gonna reopen the case and try to find the person who did it, or is this just over now?
They're done. They dropped it. They're just like, look, we had the opportunity to get the right guy. There's no telling where he is. Tyler inboxed me. The call by Tyler the Truth inboxed me, because I'm probably not gonna remember this. I gotta do Bible study after this. You know, when you go to jail, you get a motion of discovery, right? When you go to court, they give you a motion of discovery. The motion of discovery is basically the paperwork that says what happened with the victim, what the police yeah. said, what happened when they caught you. It's everything that happened. The description of the young man who actually robbed the guy is very vague. It was extremely vague. So, like, all it said was a juvenile black male in a black hoodie. So, like, you can pick anybody on that. So they really had nothing to go off of, which is why they also went so hard at trying to frame me, because they really framed me. You know what I mean? The way that they wrote the police report, the way that they said what they said, the way that they coerced the victim to say that it was me, it was a frame to get a warm body for the crime. So without me, when they had to drop it, like, where do we go from here? And sadly, the guy who got robbed, that's just something that he has to take on the chin, because justice wasn't served for him. It was served for me because I was innocent and I spent about $20,000 to prove my innocence, maybe a little bit more, but, and not counting the money I lost. That's just the money I spent. But justice was served for me, but it wasn't served for him and his family. So, you know, I sympathize with them for that.
If you could say something to that guy, like, right now, if you had, like, a chance to actually speak to him or meet him, like, what would you ask him or say to him?
I used to want to see him in court in the hallway to ask him if he remembered them convincing him to say say that it was me when he ID'd me.
Mm-hmm.
That was for my innocence, right? Now, I would see if he knows Christ, and if he didn't, I would minister the gospel to him. Like, as far as me and what I went through, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't matter. You know what I mean? I live my life as a person who doesn't matter. I live my life to serve other people. So, like, for me to have an opportunity to talk to him and make it about myself would be selfish.
Yeah. So, in your mind, you don't hold any ill will toward him. And like you said, you kind of sympathize because he was somewhat coerced into, like, blaming you.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I wasn't an upstanding citizen, man. I've done some horrible, horrible, horrible things in my life. And for me to hold a grudge against a man because he thought I looked like somebody and not forgive him would be unworthy of the gospel and the salvation that saved my life. You know, the Bible says, forgive as the Son has forgiven us, or else the Father won't forgive us. And so, like, I hold no ill will. He didn't do anything malicious to me. He didn't have ill intent towards me. When he saw me through the Carl's Jr. window, he really believed me that I was that young man.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, he was an older Hispanic gentleman, right? I don't think he was from America, but he was an older Mexican gentleman. And in cases, cross race IDs fail about 70 to 80% of the time, because stereotypically people can't identify people from other races that they don't spend much time with as well as they can their own race.
Makes
right
sense. Yeah,
right. And so it's not his fault, you know what I mean? It's just not his fault. He's fresh off getting robbed yesterday. Somebody pulled a gun on him in front of his house. Like, he's got all these emotions going through him. I hold no ill will toward that man. So if I had the opportunity to talk with him, man, it would really be to see if I can give him what God has given me. And then, you know, even if he, let's say he is saved hypothetically, it would be to give him the jewels and the gems that the Lord has given me to get me where I'm at right now.
Hey, I feel like this answer you just gave, you could have used that in court. And be like, come on. A guy who robbed this guy wouldn't say that.
For real.
Like, this is like a good character assessment of, like, where you're at in life now.
It never got to the point where I had the opportunity to talk, because that was my thing. I was like, man, put me on the stand. Put me on the stand and let them talk to me.
Yeah.
Right? Let them see the guy that they're accusing it is, right? The one of the police officers that I dealt with recently, and we had talked, and he was just like, man, you don't seem like somebody who was accused of this. He was like, you don't seem like that type of person. I'm like, man, I'm not. Like, and my thing is, I've gotten away with way worse things than they accused me of. And so who am I also to play victim?
Yeah.
Right. There was a point in time where I looked at this like, because I've gotten away with so many things, that this was my time to pay the piper, so to speak.
It was coming.
Yeah. You know, but you sign up for that, right? As far as being in the streets and doing all the stuff that we were doing, and I'm not trying to make it seem like I was anybody up high or anybody down low. I just was a part of the life, right? But that's something that you sign up for. You sign up knowing that, like, every day you could kill, die, or go to jail. That's just a part of the reality. And so there was a point in time where I was like, I get it. I've done some stuff. But like I said, I've never went to jail for nothing that I've ever done. So the other side of me was like, I've already did that. I've already paid my debt to society based on me taking time for somebody else's crimes. I'm not doing it again, let alone for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 12 years is a long, long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy, man. So what good, because I'm sure there has been some good for you that's come out of this situation. So what good has come out of the situation, and how are you moving forward from it now?
Moving forward, I plan on trying to become a chaplain, helping people who are in jail dealing with this kind of stuff, getting into politics, and not necessarily trying to use this as a springboard, but the Lord has spoken to me and told me, like, this is what I need you to do, this is where you're going to end at. And so I just agree with what he said. Right. What it do for me? Builder, man. I prayed for years with no victory in sight, and believe the prophetic word. Like, you know, a lot of people say the prophets and prophecies don't exist. I'm a walking testimony of prophetic words, and prophets do exist. And I had multiple prophets come to me and tell me certain things about this situation, and they didn't know. You know, they just hearing what God told them to say to me. They didn't, you know, a lot of times when you prophesy to somebody, you God only gives you like this much of a huge picture. So he gives you clarity on this much, and you say this much, and you speak it with conviction, you know, but there's so much that you don't. That you aren't privy to, that the person you're speaking to is, right? So I live based on those words that they gave me in the midst of everything, in the midst of all kind of persecution, all kind of people saying all kind of crazy stuff, in the midst of the police saying crazy stuff, the judge saying crazy stuff, in the midst of I'm suffering this, but I still I got a wife, I got kids, I got a ministry to do. There are people who need this gospel. Like, I don't matter. And put me on the back burner and go do the will of God every single day. And for me, it was a faith builder, because the same amount of faith that it takes to have to get rid of a cold is the same amount of faith that it takes to fight the law with a horrible attorney when your alibi, my ex was my alibi. She literally said, "No, I'm not coming to court. Pay me, give me some money, I'll come to court and tell them the truth." Like,
Hey.
so this is how, but this is how God set it up to where, check this out, son, this is gonna be all me. Your lawyer's not fighting for you. The only person who was actually with you when the crime happened to prove that you were somewhere else is refusing to cooperate unless you pay them. And I was at the point, I'm about to pay you to do nothing. Like, that's crazy, right? You're not about to extort me for my freedom. To where God was like, just rely on me. Breno, how you doing, man? I love what you're doing, right? God was like, just rely on me. And so for me to be put in that situation, to it's my life. It's not something small, right? Failure is a decade in a penitentiary, right? It's the stakes are high. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was just a faith builder, because that same faith of believing to get healed for a common cold, or believing for salvation, which is the greatest miracle ever, or believing to fight this crooked system. I come from Riverside, California. We have a 99.9% conviction rate, right? One of the highest conviction rates in the country. Right, it's 90 something. It might be 98. I don't know what it is right now, but it's super high. Right, it's crooked. It's steeped in old Masonic money. It's a lot of stuff going on here. So to believe to fight this system with no help, me and God, I could believe for anything right now.
True story.
There's nothing you could tell me that I can't believe for that God won't do for me. It's nothing.
That's the testimony. That's the Job lesson at the end of it, right?
Amen.
Right, man. So I know you gotta get running. So tell me.
I got a little time though. As long as I'm off by like 6:50, we good.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the organization you're working with and the, you know, the safe house, the trafficking and all that. Let's get into that a bit.
So I am a part of a nonprofit organization called Fivefold Foundation. It's based on Ephesians 4:13. And it's basically saying that we take the fivefold ministry to meet people where they are, right? So this fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, we go and take these giftings from God and meet people where they are to help them. You know, you have to be intentional about meeting people where they are. What that means is going to where people are, right? Yeah. And so it's a lot of people who are either they've trafficked, been trafficked, know someone who has been trafficked. Like, I can almost say that there's no one on earth who isn't connected to someone who was molested, raped, or sold, or has bought someone, right? This is an epidemic that we kind of sweep under the rug and we don't act like it's there if it's not touching our actual lives. But the Bible says that the whole world is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God, right? And it's that the sons of God will manifest, and it's our job to change people's lives. And so what that means is we've got to step out of our pretty little life and out of our comfort zone. And somebody told me I'm wearing cheap earbuds. God bless you. Buy me a new pair, man. I would love that to sew into my life for some expensive earbuds. So we've got to step out of our comfort zone and out of our comfortable life to get in this position to pull people out of the traps of the devil. And so with this sex trafficking thing, man, it runs deep. It runs on street level. It runs on organized crime. It's governmental. It's big business. It's a billion-dollar business. And what we've done is we've come together and we said that we're going to use our tools, our talents, our giftings, and our business savvy to raise money to open Christian safe houses.
Yeah.
Now, these safe houses aren't just going to be a place where people can go to get away. You know, you don't get out of the mud and get clean without taking a shower. You can't just roll around in the dirt and then go sit in somebody's couch, right? You're going to carry that dirt with you.
Yeah.
I say that as an analogy for there are so many different things that people need to get delivered from after leaving that lifestyle, whether you were a pimp or you got pimped or you were buying someone, right? There's so many different demonic things that you have to get delivered from. So we want to focus on deliverance. We want to focus on education.
Yeah.
And we want to give people trade so that they can make a living for themselves in this world in these Christian safe houses. So if you want to donate, right, you can go to fivefold.fundraise.org, FUNraise.org. You can also go to fivefold.foundation and become a part of what we're doing. We just dropped a video. It's called Trafficked. There's a music video to it. We're actually going to drop a compilation album with some of your favorite CHH artists. And we just did an event in Houston, and we're going to do another event in Houston called Project Safe House. And we just raising money to try to do our part to help, man. It's a lot of forgotten people out there, and they're only forgotten because the church forgot about them.
Yeah, man. Amazing. Yo, Hurt, could you check your inbox? Well, he can't check his inbox right now because
I will later, though.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. And I know you've been, throughout this whole process, you've been consistent even in putting out music. And you had even said, like, if you couldn't donate, or going back to your case, if you couldn't donate, like, at least stream the music and be blessed by that, and that would help. So I'd imagine that's the same.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The same deal with this too. You're putting out a project because you need people to listen to it and share it and stream it. And it's,
yes,
also,
sir,
awareness.
I want to give you guys, just you fans, I don't know how many people are going to end up seeing this, but I want to speak for the artists who won't speak it, right? I don't have no shame. You can ask my wife, right? It takes more money for us to record one song than it does for a fan to buy a whole album. One song, just buy the beat, studio time, all that, right? Most artists in CHH, they have full-time jobs, right? Let me let me do this. Let's say a single, right? Let's say you buy a beat, $300. That's really cheap. Studio time. If you fast, it's only gonna take you about an hour, right? People charging $30, $50. Let's just say $50 to keep it round. So now you got $350. Mixing and mastering the song is gonna run you about another $100. Now you have $450. Then you need artwork. Artwork, let's just say you know somebody, $50. Now you have $500. You need a video. Video is gonna run you at about $1,000.
Yep.
Now you have $1,500 for your single. Just your single. This ain't your album. You got eight other songs, or how many other songs that you got?
Right? And that's no marketing, so this, no advertising.
Yeah, we haven't got into anything yet. We haven't got into the clothes that you got to wear for the video. We haven't got into marketing budget, like you said, advertising. We haven't got into anything. And so this ain't about me. Support your favorite artist. People put a lot of time and effort and money into blessing you with something that you enjoy. For me, my music is very theological. I make theological street preach music. And so if you listen, I've dropped six albums. If you listen to my albums, they're like a progression of spirituality, right? And so if you want to see my journey as a human, and find your journey, because you know it's like when you read the Bible, you find yourself in there. You can find yourself in my journey, man. So go stream it, man. H.U.R.T. The dot is a period everywhere on all streaming platforms. It's I don't do this to entertain, right? I entertained as a rapper in the world, man. I walked away from all that. I do this to give somebody the glory of God that he gave me and show them what he showed me, you know? So if you want to be encouraged, if you want to be edified, if you want to get this, the revelation of the word of God, if you want the glory of God to really change your life, me and a lot of other people are people to listen to. If you just want to be entertained, I can entertain you. But that's never been my goal. I pastor a church. I am I'm somebody who wholeheartedly believes that we can't play with God, right? Everybody who plays with God dies. And we are coming up on a time right now where we're close to the Lord coming back. I know everybody said that, but I'll leave you with a little nugget. The Bible says a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and the Sabbath is on the seventh day. Pray and seek the Lord for the revelation of that, right? And so we're just coming up on a time, man, where we got to get serious about God, and we've got to change everything that we're doing. Christianity as a norm is not enough. Your relationship with God the way it is not enough. If you compare yourself to the people that you read about in the Word, if you're not giving equal to what they gave or more, you're not doing enough. And I just want to encourage somebody, and I need you to understand that God demands more. Not only does he deserve more, is your life that you're living right now worth the sacrifice that Yeshua died thinking about you on that cross? Is the way you live, is your Christian day-to-day life worth someone's real life? If you can't honestly look in the mirror and say that I'm repaying God back with everything, not just your actions, your thoughts. Are you taking your thoughts into the captivity of Christ, right? These things are serious. And so we don't have time. The book of Revelation, it says that when John the Revelator saw the angel said that there is no more time. There's going to come a point in time where your prayers, your worship, your praise, your begging God, he's not going to hear you. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, it says, let the righteous man be righteous and the wicked man be wicked, right? And he says, when the trumpet is blown, if you don't respond properly, you're going to get stuck in eternity where you are. And so forgive me for making this super serious, but I just need people to understand how serious God is. God is out here taking lives, and I don't want you to be the next one taken.
Man, I don't think we need to ask any more questions after that. Like that's your That's your end cap, man. You, like, you could tell, first of all, you're about to do a Bible study, so now you're all warmed up. And then
Amen.
you could tell that you are both a rapper and a pastor because the analogy games are on point, and putting the words together is on point. So
Amen.
you good. You're in this, man. And I'm sure everyone in here that's listening, and of course we're gonna repost this, we're gonna upload it to YouTube, we're gonna make clips of it. So this will live on in like many different ways. So there's gonna be a lot of people blessed by your story, your testimony, and by the knowledge bombs that you were just dropping at the end.
Hey man, so check it out, man. You can find me on YouTube at RPH Experience. On there, you'll find teachings, you'll find music, and just see, peek in, peek behind the curtain real quick. See if God is saying something that you agree with. See if you like the music. I just appreciate you guys. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate Rapzilla.
Thank you,
Can you
man.
name a pair of Jordans for an edit? Can I name a pair of Jordans for an edit? I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
No, I just read it probably like five times. I'm trying to figure it out.
Can you name a pair of Jordan? Can you elaborate real quick so I can answer that? But yeah, RPH Experience and YouTube. Social media is HURT underscore RPH. I'm just a regular dude making the regular moves, man. I love y'all with the love of Christ. You don't have to know people to love them because you don't have to know people to hate them. And so I'm just out here trying to spread the love of God, man. Give everybody what God has given me. I appreciate everything you're doing. I watched the interview that you did with Monster Tarver. It was really good. Gave me some insight to who he was, things that I didn't know about him. And so I believe that this thing is going to take off for you, man. It's going to do some
Man,
things.
I hope so. It's been a couple years since I did a weekly show on Instagram, and the last one was a very, like, I don't know, it was a very serious show, that Community During Chaos show that I did that was happening during COVID and the civil unrest and all that. And every week it was like the same four questions. What are you doing to survive? What are you doing to help your community? And that, bro, that was heavy. So this obviously was a very heavy episode as well. But it's more, it's more conversational, more like the sky isn't falling around us at every single moment anymore. So that's kind of the point of the whole show. But man, thank you. You are guest number two. So you're right in the beginning of this thing. So I don't know. You said you feel like it's gonna take off. So that's gonna be thanks to you and Master Tarver, guys, setting the bar high for these interviews.
Let's go.
All right, bro. Thank you so much. Much. Keep us
Appreciate you.
posted at Rapzilla with everything that you're doing. Everyone, give him a follow. If you came in late and you're interested in hearing everything he talked about, I'm gonna upload the whole interview right onto Instagram. It'll probably take about 5 minutes, but it'll be there. So, all right, brother. Thank you so much.
Can I pray before we get out of here,
Yeah,
man?
go for it. Go for it.
Abba Elohim in Yeshua's name, I thank you for everyone who's here, everyone who will watch this. Thank you for my brother Justin and everything that you're doing in his life. Lord, I just pray that you draw us closer to you in your fire, that the seven spirits, Lord God, that are found in Isaiah 11, 2 would manifest in our lives, the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, that those would bring about the spirit of wisdom and revelation inside of us, Lord. That we could become the high priest that you died, you sent your son to die for, created us to be. Open our eyes, Father God. Remove the veils from our eyes and the veils from our ears, that we can have our spiritual senses exercised to really know what it is that you're doing and you're saying in this season. Father, any religious spirit, anything that doesn't line up with your will, your word, or your spirit, I pray that you would purify and purge us of, and that you would make us aware of all the lies that we were told and bring us into a real truth that would transform our lives like never before. Bring us into that fire, Lord. We thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you are. Most importantly, we thank you for the sacrifice of your son that you sent on our behalf when we didn't deserve it. And we pray these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Man. All right, man. Thank you so much. God bless that Bible study. Keep going, keep
Yeah,
grinding.
let's get it. It's
And we're
cooking.
watching, bro.
All right, you have a good day.
All right, man. You too. Peace.